Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Laughable Advice. We take some real-world problems, we break them down, crack a couple jokes, because as my grandfather used to say, if you're not laughing, you're crying. My name's Vince. You may or may not recognize me from 99.1 PLR, and with me, as usual, my lovely co-host from Fox's 99 to beat, Dee Ortiz. How you doing today, Dee?
So good. Looking good. You're looking good today.
We just realized as we came in today, we matched. We did not coordinate this.
No, we look good.
Right? And
look at this.
We look like we're about to head down to the beach, like we're going to leave and go to like West Haven or something, just go down the beach and relax.
For sure, except he did button up a little bit. I thought he was coming in to try and I thought we were pimping him out.
Listen,
today.
It's gonna happen because for the YouTube viewers, this button right here does not want to stay, so it will just like, it'll
look,
slip.
Look, ladies. Just saying.
These buttons are like, this is like a shirt designed for the beach, I think.
Okay.
You know, and you're not supposed to wear it for like very long, but I like wearing it as like a Tony Soprano shirt. So
I love it.
The buttons will slip. I also got more, I got color done. Ooh. And still all colored up on my tattooed here. You know.
That's why he's really wore that shirt because he.
Well, it's got to breathe.
He's got to breathe.
It's still a little dry in there. I got this done. I've had this tattoo, like the outline of this tattoo, for almost 20 years. I finally found somebody that's really good.
Yeah.
Mel and Ogre at Imperial Tattoo in West Haven, they're awesome. So over this, and then this side got added by them at Imperial Tattoo. Probably 20-something, maybe 24 hours total on this chest over the course of 15 years.
Oh.
I finally thought I was done the other day as we're done putting the color in. And then Mel, I love her to death. She's a great tattoo artist, but she looks at it, she goes, you know, if you put like a sword or something right down the middle, that might tie both sides together. And I was like, damn it, you're right. I was so happy to be done with this part of it. And she's like, you know, if you just put a little something down the middle, it would hold it together. And I'm like, oh, you're right. If it goes far enough down, it like, yeah. Because I want to start working again. I want to finish something on this arm. Because I got to get, this was my first tattoo I got when I was 16.
Oh.
And it was Lord of the Rings tattoo.
Love it.
And, you know, the guy did it in the back of my parents' tattoo shop because he was one of their customers for motorcycle insurance. I don't know if that was like a trade. Like it was, yes, no, it was a weird way to get a tattoo.
Ink on my child. That's fine. Yeah, here, take it.
They got them too. Yeah. We all got tattoos that day.
Stop.
Yeah,
that's
we
amazing.
All, my cousin and one of her friends got tattoos from, like we were in the break room of an insurance office.
I love that. Yeah. At least you were safe.
Right? But now the idea is I want to get more of like, you know, the eye in the tower, the eye of Sauron in the movie. I want to get the whole, so I want to get it like, the tower with the eye and some fire behind. Like, I want this to look more like a piece and less just like a thing hanging out on my arm.
Yeah. I love that.
But.
Yeah. So all you tattoo ladies, here we go. We got it. He's just adding it on. You want to accompany him, you know, to the tattoo parlor, like a date? There it is. There we go.
My favorite part about it, that would be an awesome idea, actually. I'm so down for, like, getting not matching tattoos. That would be weird. No matching tattoos. Although I did, the one matching tattoo I do have is with my mom.
Oh, it's a strawberry and a flower.
Right. And then she went down, same guy, Ogre at Imperial Tattoo, did this one for me.
So good.
He got for Mother's Day. I mean, I promised to her for Mother's Day, and we got it done in middle of August. So it got done. So now we have matching tattoos.
It's really cute, though. And it's so bright for it to be just black.
I know. And that's why I like going over there. They do really good work. But, you know, we're not a tattoo podcast, but I do want to
it's part of... Yeah, but you know what? It ties into me trying to find you a partner.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just another option. There's somebody out there that's like, hell yeah, let's go. You know, I'll go with you to the tattoo parlor. Let's go get tattoos. Like, it's just another thing.
Absolutely. The funny thing is when I get work, because like some of it, like they had to add this whole, all of these little comic book blocks before. Like I just had the Superman tattoo and then everything else had to get added over like the last year. So every time it looks done, my mom's reaction is, oh, my God, that looks so good. My dad's reaction is, so you're finally done with that, right? This is the last one?
You're like, yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, it's the last one in that particular area. Like, we got a lot more real estate left.
Right.
I used to be concerned about getting, and I still kind of am, about getting tattoos below the elbows, you know, the old career killers, as they used to call them.
You're gonna be hearing radio.
You know, nothing below the elbow and nothing above the neck.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not that I'm going to go and get face tattoos. That seems a little too Post Malone for me, but I would like a sleeve, I think, eventually. I would start with the half and go down to the elbow because I've got stuff. This is a wrestling championship belt, even though it doesn't have any of the logos on it. But I wanted it that way. So it was like, if you know, you know. And if not, it's just like a cowboy with a belt buckle. But I want to get more stuff added around it.
I have like a whole two. I have a little Gemini in the back of my neck and butterflies on my stomach. And that's as far as I got, scares me. It'll scare me.
Oh, all right. No, I don't like, it's so weird. I don't like getting blood drawn. I don't like getting IVs, but
a tattoo you're here for.
Fine. I think it's because it doesn't go in as far.
Okay.
Because tattoo needles only go in like, a couple millimeters.
That feeling of just like annoyance.
Oh, it's not comfortable.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. No.
But also like, I don't know. I've dated girls that were uncomfortable to be around 24 hours a day. I think I can survive 5 or 6 hours in a tattoo chair. Speaking of, these were the updates that I texted you about, and you said wait until we were recording to get your reaction.
Yes. Oh God, I'm scared and fun at the same time.
So, those of you who are regular listeners to this podcast might know the story that I tell of these are not their real names, Brittany and Bobby. And Brittany and Bobby were at one point dating and engaged, and they got Boston Bruins B tattoos on their ring fingers. And then Brittany and Bobby broke up. She started dating me. And then when we were going out places, he would know that we were going out on dates or whatever, because it's like, you know, a Thursday night at 8 o'clock. He would call her on her phone. And then because she was a ball buster too, she would put him on speakerphone. And then we would just have our dinner, and he'd be like swearing at her. She's like, fuck you, Bobby. You know what I mean? Like, it's like...
It was like a threesome, but not enjoying any of the perks.
Right. So, long story short, I think just talking about this incident summoned her.
No, you spoke her into existence.
Last week, I got a little bloop on my phone that says, Brittany Jean has added you on Snapchat. And I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, okay, sneak it.
No, you have to, when somebody adds you on Snapchat, you then have to accept it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, do I really want, sure, let's go with
you
the bit.
I'm
let's go with the
you
bit,
have
guy.
To do it.
Exactly, well, that's what I figured. If anything else, I could bring it here for you. I know that you were sipping water. I'm trying to cut cameras. And oh, man, I shouldn't have cut to that one.
Listen.
Somebody's going to screenshot that. but I added her. And then... I sent, you know, the emoji that is just two big eyes looking to the left?
Like, what are you doing?
I just sent that.
What'd she say?
She opened it and read it, and now it's been like a week and a half, and she didn't say it. So she went out of her way to add me.
That cause
didn't say hi. Mm-hmm. And then when I sent side eyes. I literally sent side eyes to her. It's like, could you explain? And then on her story, she's like listing like her Depop and stuff. I'm like, do you want me to try and buy your used clothes? Like, what is the point of you adding me? Like, just, and nothing, like no other notifications from Snapchat that she like saw something, screenshotted something, sent me a message, sent me a snap. No.
So we need to get deeper into this. So, we need to write her and be like, hey,
what's the deal?
Yeah. So like,
were you listening to my podcast?
What the hell? Seriously. Be like, how's that tattoo?
Right.
How's that tattoo?
Because it's such a specific story.
You need to ask her. You need to be like straight to the point. No side eye. Be like, listen, I sent you the side eye because I was surprised that you reached out. Well, you added me.
Right. After like a decade.
So what's going on next? What's our next move?
Like a literal decade. Like, are you trying to I'm not trying to.
Do you have questions?
Right, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I just need to know. Like, how are we friends again? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. You know, what made you go through the effort of adding me on Snapchat?
Exactly. And I think it's funny that it's Snapchat. So, like, for some reason in
because
my head.
Because we're both 40. Like, who's 40 on Snapchat? I downloaded it when I was 20-something.
Yes, exactly. And it just, like, sits there. Like, we're into IG now and Facebook and TikTok. Like,
right,
follow
exactly.
me there. Like, yeah. And plus, I think Snapchat is kind of where everybody gets kind of freaky. So, it's like,
yes.
What time did she add you exactly?
It was the middle of the day. Oh. I believe. You know what? I can't say it for certain. When I saw the notification, it was the middle of the day.
Okay.
So it could have been overnight.
I wonder if it was a moment of weakness where she was like, oh my God, I want to like send some stuff.
Then you wake
and then
up,
you saw it the next day.
You wake up sober and you're like, why did I add him back?
And then you get the side eye and you're like, do I talk to him or do I leave it as this? So it's kind of confusing. confusing. I get it. But I think you should definitely go in and you should definitely be like, so how's everything?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
how did you find my Snap? Because Snap.
I'm the easiest guy to find on the internet because my username is the same across everything.
But why not add you on Insta, TikTok, or Facebook? Like, why the sneaky link?
I want to say either I'm blocked or she's blocked on Instagram. Oh,
we should unblock her. We got to figure this out. This is something that needs to happen. Yeah, we need to go further.
But there's a part. So we'll table that because I don't know what happened yet. I have to try and get a hold of her and have her actually respond instead of just opening up my Snapchat. Mm-hmm. But here's part two. Here's the other, not part two because it's not related, but it's related to the podcast. Last week, I showed you someone's Instagram and I was explaining how there was a story about how she didn't continue staying with her boyfriend that she wanted to get married to me by the beginning of the new year.
Yes.
And then she sent a bunch of ha ha ha's when I followed up on it. So we assumed it was a joke. Mm-hmm. Once again, the universe plays cruel, cruel, cruel tricks.
It's not cruel.
2 or 3 days, I think it was Monday. I don't even want to paraphrase.
Oh, so we're going in.
I'm not going to read them out loud.
Okay.
I'm going to, because, but I'll paraphrase for the audience. But, okay.
Crazy. You manifested it.
So start with the, so that's me just saying, hey, what's up, trying to check in. And then this is that you don't,
oh.
Yeah. So my friend that I explained the story about last week, I checked in. I hadn't heard from her in a couple weeks. Said, how's it going? She filled me in that her boyfriend that she has a lease with and an apartment with and all that stuff was cheating on her. And then I guess in the text messages said some other, you know, and she did some revenge stuff, as you do. You can't hold a grudge on that. Yeah, so she texted me, and the first thing she said is, I plan on seeing more of you soon.
Yes, that right there. That is like, that's what I'm looking forward to, seeing more of you soon. So like, to me, that's actually kind of amazing. He was cheating, and now she's finally fed up with it. They're living in the same place still right now?
Well, yeah, that's the, well, so she have to, right. They're trying to figure out, oh boy, and I bet you, since it's getting towards the end of the month, if you want to try and sign over something with a landlord, they got like less than, maybe 2 weeks to get this done.
This is amazing. I am so excited.
I don't know, but what is that?
She meant what she said. I'm looking forward to seeing more.
I know. But so here's, I'm of two minds. One of them is the positive path where it's like finally after like 6 years and us going out and not going out and whatever, she finally realized that literally after dating a guy named Tuna for 2 years. Yeah, she dated a guy nicknamed Tuna for 2 years and he had a tuna can right where this was. Like he had a shitty little tuna can tattoo on his arm. Yeah. So she dated him for a bunch of years, moved to New York with him, and then moved back into the area after they broke up. And then started seeing this other guy who's now she's in the apartment with. But, so part of me is like, oh, hey, maybe it'll work out. And part of me is like, I see the pattern of picking up and putting down after like a year or two. And like, you know, Andy from Toy Story, once Woody's done, you pick up Buzz Lightyear. You know what I mean? It's like, am I Buzz Lightyear? And then there's, you know, the new toy from Toy Story 3 that comes along.
No, stop it. No. Don't think like that. So listen.
Well, we can't even get that far because we haven't even, this is the most conversation we've had, is that text message. We haven't discussed seeing each other, going out, dating, none of that. And I'm not reminding her of that getting married by the new year thing because that is a timeline I am not cool
with. Yeah, exactly. You're going to avoid that part. I think this is something worth looking into.
Of course.
I feel like you actually need to be the one to say, hey, let's get together. Because right now she's in that weird space of...
I also didn't want to do that right away. Because, I mean, literally, she just texted me to say, hey, I broke up with this guy. I didn't want to be like, So,
but she's looking forward to seeing more of you soon. Yes. I feel like that's the key word over and over again that keeps sticking in my head. Yeah. Like, she wouldn't have said that if she didn't want it. And maybe also it's your comfort. You're a safe place.
Right.
You are that person. And for you to be the first person that she contacted after this, when you already knew things were like crazy with them.
Yeah.
And now she's like, you were still the first person that she reached out to. Not saying as, you know, I get it. Like, yeah, rebounding is not a fun mm-hmm. thing, but also spending time and seeing where it can go. Think about lesbians, for an example. Okay.
I think about lesbians an awful lot. So go ahead.
So I'm just saying. So I've entered this crazy world of the whole world. And I'm just noticing patterns between friends and people like I follow online now. And it's like how they literally will jump from one to another. And a lot of times at this point of our lives, we're how old? I'm 47. So like at this point, it's like, you know, when you start to get a certain age, is there even a such thing as a rebound anymore? Like, is it, you know, right, it's right. not like when you're in high school, you're like, all right, guy, I was looking at Tony. All right, yeah, now yeah, I'm going to yeah, go yeah. be with Tony. Yeah. And then I'm going to go be with John. And then I'm going to be with Kevin. And then you just kind of jump around. I feel like you guys already have some kind of connection. And for her to come back to you, yeah, it's yeah. still kind of like, oh, that's well, kind of weird.
But I also didn't want to just be like, hey, you literally just told me you broke up with this guy. Do you want to go hang out? Do you want to go meet? Like, I didn't want it to seem like it was like, oh, well, I was just waiting for that jabroni to, like, leave you.
But it's not like that because she reached out to you. Right. So maybe she needs that friendship right now. And, like, everything, you know, is always based. I always say this all the time. Like, to me, friendship is, like, the base of anything. Mm-hmm. A base of dealing with your teenager. You have to have that, like, friendship. A base yeah. with parents. Like, a right. base with friends. A base with relationships. To me, yeah. a big thing is being able to be friends with somebody. And she finds comfort in you. Mm-hmm. And she reached out to you. So it doesn't have to be right. like, hey, let's go out and then, you know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
do things. Like, let's go out and let's talk. Let's go out and have a dinner. Let's catch up. Let's
right,
meet
definitely.
Up. And I mean, in the area where you are in right now with the crazy dating world, mm-hmm. something that's familiar might be a good thing for you.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, I think the first time we met each other, I was doing an open mic. She was the bartender. I had just gone to a brand new bar, brand new open mic that I had never been to before mm-hmm. to try and – when you do it in a certain area enough, you're like, I got to get out there and go to different clubs because then you're doing the same jokes yep. in front of the same people.
Yep.
So I go to this new place. One of the guys, Kyman, he doesn't live here anymore. He lives in Austin. He's also pursuing – he's been on Kill Tony a couple of times. His name's Nick. And he's like, man, if you go to this bar – they got these hot goth bartenders. And he's like, but you shouldn't really talk to them because that one's a bitch. And I'm like, what? And then I get there and I realize, oh, no, they're not bitches. You were just being a creep.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You were just being a creep.
Exactly.
Like, thanks, buddy. But now I get there and she's very – you mix drinks, right?
Yeah, I do like events and stuff. Mm-hmm.
So I went – I was in my whiskey drinking phase where, like, I didn't want to do mixed drinks and cocktails. I just wanted, like, an old-fashioned or yep. a whiskey neat or yeah. something. So I order an old-fashioned. And this is a rock bar with a comedy open mic. She's like, how do I make – she turns to the other bartender. She goes, how do I make an old-fashioned? The girl goes, well, you need 6 orange wedges and 6 packets of sugar. And I'm like, oh, where's this going to go?
Yeah, you're right.
She came over with something that kind of – I don't know if they put – fruit punch or something. It came over red. I don't know how it came over red. Maybe they put maraschino cherry juice in it.
Maybe
something happened. Listen, I'm not going to complain. There was whiskey and ice in it. We were halfway there
yes.
to an old fashioned.
Yes.
I'm just going to drink
packs
it.
Of sugar. Uh-huh.
Right. So I started ordering screwdrivers from then on because Ooh. That's a nice easy one. And I also realized they're a pace, like it's a hustle bar because it's a rock bar. They just want to hand you a Bud Light or a you know
yeah.
vodka soda. And get to the next person because yeah. there's 10 people behind you. So I shouldn't have ordered an old fashioned. That's on me. I knew from the next time.
That was the old man in you coming.
Right. it was the old man. But long story short, just seeing, you know, meeting that day we had, I always am hesitant because I know anybody in the service industry, restaurant waiters, whatever, when you meet them at their profession, they are literally being paid to be nice to you.
Yes.
And I never assume that somebody goes, oh, well, this girl's into me because she's talking yep. to me and yep. she's the bartender. Got a different sense of that.
Yeah.
Even the first time we met. And then, you know, one.
Because it was a vibe. There
right.
was a difference.
Well, and then one day she goes, hey, I come in for the thing. She goes, hey, last week you won the karaoke. There was no karaoke competition. She goes, you won the karaoke competition. You get free drinks all night. And I'm like, oh, all right. Well, that's a problem.
I love that. That
right?
Was, yeah.
So, you know, it's little things like that. And then we'd go out. But then it would be like a year or two. She'd find somebody else. And then we'd. She stopped dating, and we'd go out again. It'd be another year or two. Like then she did the tuna thing. Then she did.
So that's the thing. Yeah. She comes back to you for a reason because she should have been with you the whole time.
See, that's part of that's. Yeah, I think that you know. Listen, I'm
all
also. I hate that I'm Mr. Fixer Upper, Captain Save-A-Ho, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Like I'm. Like the best way I can put it is I was in a group chat with some of my guy friends the other day and I was like, you know what, I just like a goth girl with a lot of tattoos and a snaggle tooth because I don't want her to be perfect. You know what I mean? I was like,
I mean that's good.
She needs a little flaw. Little you know what I mean?
You can't be perfect. You can't. But you know what? Like I said, she's going through these things. Maybe you're the nice guy at the end of the road and she's been going with these assholes. You know what I mean? And she's like finally ready for
right.
that.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you're like the nicest guy in the world, but I'm just saying
But I was never the most exciting option. I was the guy who like had a house and a couple cats and like I was content to like stay home and chill and like she's a bartender and is out until 2-3
a.m.
But
also
and then, you know.
Being in that industry, sometimes I just feel like you just meet so many people and you feel like, oh, you know, this, you know, you're the it's the attraction first and then it doesn't work and then you're like, oh, you know, that's always how we make our mistakes.
And it's the like that happens a lot in the service industry
because you're around so many people
right. And it wasn't even necessarily co-workers, it was other people from other restaurant industry places within the town.
Okay.
So it's like she'd meet like a line cooker, she'd meet a bar back or a bartender at another bar because you know you after your shift you go to another bar
right.
and hang out, that's just right. what you do. So they actually ended up meeting people that way. Yeah, I do get the sense that it was always like, that's kind of the, you know, Vince is like the boring option. You know, I'm the chicken plate at the wedding and, you know, she wanted the prime rib of the salmon.
No.
But now maybe that's a good thing.
That's no.
But honey, you need some chicken and rice. Settle down that
time,
stomach. You know
it's
what
time
I mean?
For you to relax.
You
yeah,
need bananas,
exactly.
rice, tea, and toast. You know what I mean?
I'm here. Here I am. This is me. You know what? Yeah, but, you know, sometimes you just go through all those phases. Just like, you know, I'm not going to say who, but even somebody that works in this office, like she's amazingly beautiful. She looks like a damn Barbie doll. And she used to date all those meatheads. And
right.
that was her thing. And it was like, it worked. Like, you know, she's this hot little blonde. And then there's all these meatheads. And then here comes her husband now. That is, when I say completely the mm-hmm. opposite of those meatheads. But you know what? She tells me, the one thing he said to me is like, if you're ever going to be happy, you're not going to be happy with them. You need to open your eyes. And she and like the way he said it.
Boom.
And he got her.
I like
and
that.
When you see them, you're just like, it's a couple. You're just like, I don't know how this happened, but it has to be good because, you know, it is good. It is a good thing. It's like you look and you want a specific type of person. It's what our eyes
right,
go
right.
towards, but then their personalities are horrible.
That's,
or
yeah.
they don't give you what you need, but physically you're like, oh, the sex is great. And like, but it's not all about the sex.
Yeah, well, that's with the finger tattoo girl. She was objectively one of the hottest girls I've ever, you know, out kicking my coverage there.
Yeah.
Everything was great that way, but then it was just like, we were at the bar every night.
Or
like,
yeah.
You know, and this is such a minor thing, but for me, because I watch a lot of movies and TV, she loved Disney animated stuff.
Aww.
And it, like, we were stuck in on a blizzard and all she wanted to watch was Disney animated stuff. And I'm like, after 18 hours of the Aristocats and everything else, I'm like, can we just put on a horror movie or something?
I need to be scared. Scare me.
Is somebody calling me?
Oh, is it her?
Judy. Stop, Judy.
Who's Judy?
Judy is a telemarketer.
Wait, you named her?
No, it says it
Wait,
on the thing.
Stop.
The voicemail says, hi, this is Judy.
Maybe Judy was the one and you just blocked her. Good job.
No. Yeah, Judy. Hi, Vince. This is Judy calling about your loan, but I didn't apply for a personal loan. So that's the problem. When they call and say they're calling about your personal loan, I'm like, I didn't ask for one.
You're like, can you give me some money, though?
So that's where I am.
So that's funny that everything stuff. We've been talking about has literally come back
to you. We summoned
it.
We literally summoned
it. I love that. So now summon money. Summon money. You need money. Money,
oh, yeah.
money, money, money,
Well,
money,
you know
money.
What? I was just talking to a guy. So I do trivia at a bar. One of the bartenders also DJs. And he does I do okay, but I do, you know, I know my level. I do like karaoke nights. I do like trivia nights. I'll do a friend's wedding or a friend of a friend's wedding, stuff like that. This guy has been, you know, doing this thing for a long time. He does big weddings, 250, 300 person weddings.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he goes, he's leaving the bar to focus more on his DJ business. Mm. And he has kids too. So he's like, don't need to be bartending.
Right.
He's like, hey, I can't do all this stuff by myself. Do you want to like be my assistant? I was like, because when I DJ, I play music and stuff and then I host over the microphone. Yeah. He makes beats, spins, the whole thing.
You know, like
he's a DJ.
Thing.
Like
when
you're hiring a good, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, do I have to do any of that? He's like, no, I'm going to play all the music. You help me set up the equipment. He's like, hey, can you also do the wedding introductions?
Because
I don't
that.
Like doing
yes.
them. And I'm like, I love doing
that.
The wedding introductions.
Yes.
I was like, I did wedding introductions at the Hartford Yard Goat Stadium. Somebody rented out the whole stadium for their wedding.
I love that.
So it was empty. It was like right before the season started, late March, early April. Empty. We pull in. They got the wedding party in each dugout, the home and the away.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I'm up in the real PA booth going through the speakers, and we're like, and coming out of the dugout, your maid of honor, whatever. And then the, you know,
I love that.
We did the full
so
baseball
cool.
introductions for it. And they would run out and then they'd line up on the first base and the third base side, like the bridesmaid. And they had the son of the guy that was getting married. Instead of doing like bringing the ring out, which he did during the ceremony, to open the wedding, he threw out the first pitch.
That's amazing.
So we introduce everybody, and then the ring bearer comes out and throws the first pitch, and I go, play ball! And everybody
just,
that's so
cool. I see that.
So money might be coming my way during wedding season.
Yay!
Wedding season! You remember Wedding Crashers? Wedding season.
Listen, I love weddings. I love weddings. I love going to them, and that's my favorite part. I do day of coordinating for weddings, so my favorite part are the hosts of like that come out and introduce because they're never boring. They're always exciting, and that makes everybody so
excited.
Because
you have to get people like
pumped.
You got a lot of older. You got a lot of older folks.
Yep.
You got a lot of people who you know. It's a long day to attend a wedding.
Right.
You get there, you go through a ceremony, all that stuff. Then you get to the reception. You want to have a drink and relax, but it's like, you know, the job of a good wedding host will get the energy up by interacting
exactly.
with people.
Exactly, and that is you for sure. I know, I'm really excited about all these things coming your way, especially the rebound girl, we'll just call her at this point, but except it's not a rebound.
Thoughts and prayers.
It's not a rebound.
No, it's
this
not,
is
it's
it.
Not.
You might be the end of the road.
Hey, that would be cool. I love my parents dearly, but they're so nice that when I date a girl that they don't like, they're still nice to her.
Yeah.
And then when we break up, they're like, oh, I didn't like that girl at all. I'm like, wait, what could you tell
You're
me?
Like, how do I know? I know. Like, if you felt it, and you know, parents always say that, I know that's not going to last. I know that's not a real friend. I grew up with that. My mom's like, she's fake. I don't like her. You're going to fight with her. I'm like, Mom, whatever. And then what happens? And the same thing with dating. They know. I feel like at this point, you should know.
But I think, you know, and again, they both listen to this podcast, so they'll know. My preamble to all of this is that eventually because I already know her mom because her mom used to own the bar. So that's a lot. I know her mom and her brother.
Dead.
Right? So I already know I know her mom. Her mom likes me. That's fine.
Stop.
So I, you know, that's one half of the equation.
Does she though? Or is she your parents?
You know what? Maybe.
You know what? Let's find out.
We'll find out the truth, I guess.
We're going to find out at the wedding.
That
I'll be hosting, by the way. We're going to switch roles. I am so excited, though. Like, I don't know why. Now I'm, like, pumped about this. And then you can show her your new tattoos.
Right.
That's a way you could be
and
you know
she's
what?
Got way – well, see, here's the other thing. She's got way more tattoos than I do. So that's
Sookie.
That's either going to be a culture shock for mom and dad, or they're going to be like, oh, yeah, no, that makes absolute sense because he's been chasing after girls that look like this for decades.
Forever. And now you got it. And now it's about to happen.
What should I blame specifically? Should I blame the craft? No. Buffy the Vampire Slayer? I don't know. There's something in there. I don't know. Speaking of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, there's something I did want to bring up that was on my notes.
Yeah.
Last year, Michelle Trachtenberg passed away.
Yeah.
Within the last year or so. Last week, Hayden Panettiere passed away.
I know.
And I bring this up because Michelle Trachtenberg was my same age, 39.
Mm-hmm.
And Hayden Panettiere was 36. And I have very vivid memories of watching both of them on TV as literal children, like on soap operas and Pete and Pete too, and all this other stuff. And like, didn't Hayden Panettiere have a Disney movie where she rode a zebra instead of a horse or something? They were racing horses and you weren't allowed to race a zebra. And then she won. But long story short, they both went on to, you know, have mainstream. A lot of times you watch kids' programming over the kid actors.
Yeah.
Nothing ever happens. No. They go away. They grow up. They become a doctor or something.
Yeah.
They stayed in entertainment. You got to see them on big shows like Nashville, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, all this stuff. But then Michelle Trachtenberg, you know, you hear that for the last year or so of her life, she was like sick and she was going through all this stuff. And now then Hayden Panettiere, you hear, oh, she got back with some toxic boyfriend, didn't tell anybody. And like, you know.
And then here's my head. In my head, so Michelle, I loved her on I Loved Gossip Girl. And that was her last bitchy role.
Yeah, and she
was freaking amazing in it.
She was great even as a kid.
Yeah.
Actor,
no,
you know?
She always had attitude and they always knew where to put her.
Harriet
she was
the Spy.
Amazing. Mm. And then Hayden, like, you know, with cheerleading movies and stuff like that I watched her on. But like, what made me sad about her is, and I know a lot of people don't really care about the like Illuminati and stuff like that, and I don't even want to bring that up, but that scares me, but she was about to come out with a book talking about different things
that.
And if for some reason in this industry, no matter if you hear one person talking negatively about it, all of a sudden they die, and it's a weird ass thing. Like, I'm like, if you have secrets, keep those secrets, because it's like creepy.
I think two parts of one of it is, you know, absolutely. And I have, you know, I'm in some like Discord groups and stuff with other people who are like content creators, film, you know, indie filmmakers, stuff like that. You know, you're on social media the next day, they're like, they got her. Like,
seriously. Oh. It's true. And it happens a lot, though.
But
it's a lot.
The only other thing that helps my brain not think that as soon as you talk about something like that, you get thrown into a black van and body bag.
Yeah, seriously.
The other part of it thinks is that the stress of knowing this information and having it weigh down on you
for
long, and then finally you're about to reveal it, maybe just like it all just hits your body at one time and you're like adrenaline and all this stuff and you just can't take it, and then
that makes sense, because look at Justin Bieber going through everything he went
through.
And it's like, and you see it, like how it took a toll on him. But here's my thing about the industry. Here's me being a crazy ass mom. I'm just going to throw this in here. My child did, you know, Huggies commercials and little things when she was younger. And guess where I was the whole time? Right there.
Right there.
So if a grown man, Diddy, is like, hey, Justin's mom, I'm going to take him for the weekend by myself in my mansion, and I'm going to show him the ropes. Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to be in there too. And but the thing is, with money, and you hear this a lot about these kid actors, their parents allow them to be alone with these people because they think, I mean, I get it. They make it feel like it's a safe environment.
Yeah, but they also see a paycheck. They're like, man, if I turn this down, then my kid's not going to do a song
with
Diddy.
Exactly. And that is the problem. So it's like, as a parent, you have to be the person that stands there and stands your ground, because even things that happen in real life, the kids that get taken and things like that, people watch how they are with their parents.
Yes.
Are their parents paying attention to them?
Right.
Are there, oh, well, their parents are never here, or they're, you know, and it's like, you have to be, as an adult, I get money. I mean, those are great. I mean, these these kids ended up making a lot of money, but as a parent, you need to stand your ground and you need to be there, because you know what? Those kids should not be going. She shouldn't have been 36 years old on TV for the first time saying she got raped.
Yeah.
And she was on a boat and, you know, somebody was. No, that's
crazy.
But it took her 36 years to talk about that.
To build up the strength. That,
So
it's terrible.
It's really sad. The industry is very sad. It's like you see the happy Amanda Bynes. You see how crazy.
Yes. Oh, I was just thinking about her,
looks.
Too. Yeah.
And she was amazing. And even going back in the footage that they post now, you're like, where was her mother? Like, why is she in a jacuzzi on a Nickelodeon show with a grown man?
Well, yeah, because the guy that was producing the show was a creep.
A pervert, yes.
And that was tough to learn, because and one of the girls from All That died this week.
Wait, which one?
The black girl. The light-skinned girl.
Oh, my God. Yes. I saw that, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy.
From an asthma attack. Can you imagine?
Yeah, no.
Oh, my God. And she was only like 40, 41 years
old. I know.
Old.
The world is really creepy. And like my biggest thing, I know we totally got off the subject. Yeah. But, you know, as a parent, you have to protect your kids. And I think I'm like that with my family, my friends, everybody. I'm just a crazy ass person. Yeah. And I'd rather be that crazy ass person.
Especially because nowadays there is – there's more of a focus on the fact that there is like trafficking and kidnapping and all this other stuff happening. Mm-hmm. When it happened, it was always like – oh, God, what was that blonde girl that went missing in the early 2000s?
Oh, was it Amanda Knox or no? Yeah,
no, Amanda Knox is the one that almost killed
her. Yeah. I get mixed up with
Amanda,
all these.
But it used to be like you'd hear about, oh, child missing for, you know, 150 days or whatever. Yeah. And then it was like, oh, she was in a Walmart with like her third cousin. Like they she wasn't kidnapped per se, but they were like, hey, come with us. We're taking a trip. Yeah. Oh, your parents said it was okay.
Yeah. Or the dad saying, right. Oh, like had one of the, a dad had their daughter that was missing in the basement and was like impregnating her. And she was in the basement and the mom never knew because he did like a secret area. Like
oh
the
God.
World is creepy as shit. I just feel like you just need to be aware and alert at all times.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what's been, I've been looking at recently because it's, we're coming up on the 30th anniversary is JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh yeah.
She's another one where if she was alive, she'd be my age.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I want to say Burke, her older brother, is 39, and she would have been 37 or 36 at the, nowadays.
Yeah.
Because Burke is still living, and you know, she died at 4 years old. But, like, I mean, that was one of the first kind of creeping steps towards the world feeling a little less safe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially as a kid, like, that happened. And it's unsolved whether or not, listen, I've got my theories as to what happened.
Same, yeah.
But that's still unsolved 30 years later.
Yeah.
You know, flash forward a couple years, you get like the Columbine thing happening.
Yeah.
And then another couple years later, the big one was, you know, in 2001, you get 9/11, which, you know, that's not a domestic thing, but that's just like little dings against the culture and feeling safe and all that. And then finally the big one happens. And that was 25 years ago. And there's a whole generation of people alive now that didn't experience that, and even if they were alive, they were 4 years old or something, so they don't understand the scope of it and how that would, that really, I think, you know, my generation, probably yours, that messed us up for a while.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
It changed every, you know, all of the culture and all of, like, I don't know, I feel like if you look back to like 1999 when like The Matrix came out, you're like, man, we were in a good place. Look at that. We were thinking about the future. We were going to plug into the Matrix and do kung fu and fly. And like the world seemed hopeful in 1999. And then in like 2002, you're like, Saddam Hussein rules the world. Like
it was just crazy. I don't know. The world is crazy. And even dating, going back to even dating, how about people that go on these blind dates and things happen? Like you think you're safe and you go on to a blind date and all of a sudden they find you the next day. Like the world is crazy. Like,
oh yes. Or you're working at if you're working at a retail store or something and you cash somebody out at the register, they come in your store and then like later that day you have one new friend request. And you're like, okay, creep.
Yeah.
How did we figure that one out?
Right. I'm like, how did you do that? Like, I know my sister's like that, though. She's crazy. My sister's the perfect, my sister is the perfect example. I'll be like, oh, I met this person. She has brown hair and green. Oh, is this her right here? And she works here. I'm like, damn. I like that. Okay. Yeah. But I don't like it for me. Like, don't try and stalk me.
No. Yeah. I mean, listen, it does show an extra level of like, oh, you must be really into this person if you're taking that extra level. It's like, you must be really into this person if you're going that far.
I always love that thing. It's like a meme, and it's not a meme, but they made it a meme. It's like, woman gets arrested for texting her ex 2,000 times in one day.
Yeah.
So then I repost it, and here's me going, nobody cares about dedication anymore. Like, you know, there's
right,
effort. Like, what happened? Effort. Like, that's effort to me. They didn't write back. She just wanted to make sure he was good.
Yeah.
Like, but that's what I mean. It's like, fine line.
If somebody sent you 2,000 messages in a day, what number would you finally – it would probably take under 100 for me to go, please stop, or what is going on, or I've texted you back, please don't do this anymore.
Or show up at the house and be like, oh, you didn't get them? Like, you didn't get them. You didn't
I
see.
I think what I might do if I was in a bad mood is I would come back into the house and I wouldn't even say hi or anything. I just open the door. I go, what do you want?
No.
What do you want?
No. They say, oh, you didn't answer any of my texts, but now we work together. Like, oh, we work at the same place now. Oh, we're roommates.
Yeah, no, dude, I've done the coworker dating thing. It's not fun.
Oh, my God.
Here
so
might
why?
Be different.
I know. So, yeah, that's a good thing. Okay, so that's actually a good thing to talk about. What would you say about dating a coworker? What would you see the issue would be?
Well, all the hot ones are married.
That's true.
That's a problem.
That's true.
The girl you were talking about earlier, who you said looks like a Barbie, I think she looks more like Skipper because Skipper is Barbie's like smaller cousin.
Yes,
she's like very short.
She's so beautiful. Listen, she
that
is
girl
my...
looks at me like I have three heads
Stop.
Every time I
hey,
say.
She's so
I gotta
mean.
Take a picture.
I Dude, love her
I gotta,
so much.
I gotta put my phone up and like just record a video like holding it to my chest because I swear to God, she looks at me like I stink. Like
I think
there are
you're lying.
Visible stink lines
no,
coming off.
No, you're
of
fucking
me.
Lying.
Oh my God,
you're lying.
No,
she, I love
like,
her.
No, listen, I have no problem
no,
with her. I think we're.
She's my like. I have like. I always say this so. Everybody laughs at me, but like I have a blonde girl fetish. Like I've had this since I was younger. So like the reasons why, okay, I wasn't like 10 watching porn, but my first crushes were Jenna Jameson.
Oh, Jesus.
Jessie Jane. The Barbie Dow blonde with the big
yes,
eyes
yeah, yeah,
and the
yeah.
big lip. I'm big.
Like
everything
a Marilyn
else.
Monroe
They
style.
Were amazing to me. I love those like types of girls. So like in Connecticut, you really don't find them. Like you know, if you go to California, you find them. If
All
you
the
go
time.
To New York randomly. But, mm-hmm. you know, you have to be traveling. South Carolina, right. you know, go down south, whatever. But she to me is like a little Barbie doll
yes,
and like
yeah.
her body, her face, everything. I'm just like, oh my God, I love her so much. So like, yeah, but I don't see her. Well, she's not mean to you. You're
no,
a
no,
liar.
She's not mean to me.
She just gives me funny looks.
That's all it is.
Cause she's so cute.
That's fine. And I'm absolutely fine with it. Cause again, I'm not trying, you know,
you should go up to her and be like, I'm Vince.
Even she was at the table at the lunch thing the yeah. other day. I want to say she gave me the side eye when I came over to talk to the other marketing guy about
she
that thing
did.
I pitched.
You know what?
She
I'm not even
did.
Mad about it.
I'm not mad about it. Listen, I'm not mad listen, about it. I a, look at me. Look at me.
No,
look at me. I would stare weird at me, too.
No, stop. Stop it. No, she's just like that. Like,
okay.
she's the kind
right.
of person that is like, bad. No. She is the kind of person that is like, if she doesn't need to talk to you, she's not talking to you.
Understood.
She's that person. Like, she won't Understood. Waste her breath. So, it's she's just so fun. Like, I love her. But, like, I get what you mean because I've seen her do this to people. But, yeah, I get it. But she's, like, my little Barbie doll. So, nothing. She does nothing wrong in
my
eyes.
I just wonder, what I think might be happening is she, I don't think it's necessarily resting bitch face. That's not it. Because she doesn't walk around with
no.
a bitch face. Hi, AJ!
Oh my God! Did he hear
AJ
you?
AJ just walked by. Hey,
yes,
he waved. All right,
I saw his hand.
He walked by and smiled. No, I think what it is she might have.
She don't want to be here.
She's, no, yeah, that could be it too. No, it's like quizzical because you know, like how sometimes if you look at somebody and you're wondering something, you might like raise an eyebrow. You're like, oh, what's going on over
so
here?
So she's in her head all the time. Probably
her quizzical look is like, what the fuck is that? It's not a one or a two. It's a 10 out of 10. It's not a oh, what's going on over here? She's like, why does that guy's face look like that? You know what I mean? Like she's looking at me like, I will give. Let me cut to the camera and give the face. She goes, that's the. And we're not saying names, but you can send her a screenshot
My
later.
My face
like,
hurts from laughing
you can be like,
because I see her
you
doing
can,
that.
You can text her and be like, hey, is this the face you make at Vince? And then she'll be like, yeah, you caught me.
She'll be like, shit, he sees that? Oh, he could read my face. Okay, yeah. She's one of those people that you can talk with your face and you don't even know.
Never play
like,
poker. Do
yeah,
not play
no,
poker.
No, don't. Do not.
She'd
do
look
not.
At, she'd look at the cards and she'd go. And I'd be like, all in, baby, all in. We're going to beat this one.
Stop. I love her.
Oh,
do
no,
you
cool.
do you think it would be easier to date here at the radio station?
I think so.
Or do you think it'd be easier, like, more in corporate America?
No, because I dated in, like, a cubicle corporate America thing. Mm. And there's a lot more structure there. You know
then,
what I mean?
Rather
and it's
than here, we have nothing. We, like.
Right. But, I mean, you know, there's desks and people are assigned to places and you've got places to be at a certain day and time. But, like.
Yeah.
in a corporate office, it's like, hey, why are you not in your cubicle? Why are you not working on the Murphy file or whatever? Yeah. It's like here, it's like, well, I'm going over and talking to somebody because that's just, you know, part of, it's a communicative job, business. So
no, it makes sense.
It's probably easier.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who are not married, because she didn't marry somebody here, but Melissa, did you see the video? Her husband looked like he was having fun at Disney.
That was her brother.
Was that her brother?
Yes.
That's not her husband?
Yes, no, that's why. He's home. The husband stayed home.
I thought that was her husband. It was the only guy in the video. This was the assumption I make. I go, only guy in the video. Oh my God, her husband's having a blast.
No,
that explains so because her whole family is obsessed with Disney.
He won't have a blast. Like, he would go. He's the husband that will
go. I was so excited for him to, like, finally be excited about Disney, and it's her brother. Oh, that's terrible.
Brother.
Also
it's
implies
brother.
What I think about her and her brother matching up as a couple, but we won't
get into it. Yes, I know. And the sister. That was the sister, too.
I could tell that was her
sister.
That's
hilarious. So that's another thing about relationships, like, even though that was her brother.
I love that he stayed, like, he just stays home.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't.
But he does go, but she just, okay, here's an example. So Melissa is one of my very best friends. She is WICC Melissa in the morning. We know her. Her husband is very happy that she has me as a work wife because what happens is every time there's a work party, an event, anything, she will go to him first respectfully and say, here's what's going on today. I have this event. You can come, of course, your first choice. Right. But D is willing to go. And he's like, take her away. Take D.
That's
awesome. So it works out. And I give him his time. But he still does stuff for her. They have their own time. Same thing with Disney. Her brother lives in Orlando.
Right.
So they, whenever she wants to take a crazy, which she does all the time, a crazy weekend away, a couple days away. She goes, hangs out with her brother. She comes back, and everybody's happy.
I really was excited. Like, oh man, her husband actually went away.
It was good videos. I would think
so
too.
Because there was the video I'm talking about specifically was the one where it's now that I know it's her brother. Like the caption is something like waiting around at Disney, and it's like Melissa and her sister. Everyone, they're all riding on rides,
and he's just like, where are they?
Yeah, he's standing in the middle. Just the look. It was so perfect. He's wearing the Mickey ears, and he's standing in the middle of the brick walkway there in, like, downtown Disney, and he just has this look, and he's looking to his left and looking to his right. And every time they cut, it's like, you know, Melissa on the back of a horse or something, and she's like, woo!
Her sister's in Dumbo, twirling around.
In the teacups or something. Oh, that's
like,
great.
That is an ideal relationship if that was not her brother. Yes.
But that's also, like, good on her, because, like, a lot I notice that usually guys won't do silly, like, we'll do our videos, you know, we'll do videos about comedy videos and sketches, but we won't do stuff like that unless a woman asks us, and usually the woman is your partner or your wife, you know what I mean? It's good that, again, brother absolutely should do it, but like, in my head I'm like, man, husband putting work into a TikTok video, good on that guy.
One thing I will say, though, those are the husbands that get those brownie points. Those are the husbands that are getting 100%. Laid all the time, because I will tell you right now, once your partner starts giving up on doing fun things you, guess what happens? You're no longer getting sex. I'm telling you right now. It's like a thing, because it's a balance. Like, if
is that from experience?
I'm just saying, in general, if your partner is obsessed with Disney and you can tolerate it, in my head, I'm like, okay, it's a weekend away.
Right.
And I'm just going to go have fun. And then there's the people in relationships that are like, well, I don't like Disney, so I'm not going. But then that's your partner. So how does that work? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in relationships, I feel like you have to give and take.
Right. There's definitely, you know, there has to be a balance.
Right.
For sure. Because, like, the other problem is sometimes there are people in the, you know, one person in the relationship might want more balance, or like they want something different, but they don't know how to say it. They're afraid to say it. They might be, you know, they don't want it.
Yeah.
And it could be something as simple as like, hey, we spend a lot of time at the house. Could we go out and see a movie? Could we go out to dinner, go for a hike? But they could be still just feel like afraid to bring it up. Like, I don't know. It's weird.
But in relationships, you should be able to talk about everything.
Yes.
And I feel like the communication is key with everything and everybody. Sometimes I feel like I communicate too much, that people don't listen, people ignore. But if you want, or just act like the person is dramatic.
Yeah.
Like, it's about wanting to do what's going to make your partner happy. It's a partnership. And I feel like I said, every time something, it doesn't work like that, then things start to fall apart. That's why they say, like, make sure water your garden, because somebody's right there waiting to replenish that water bucket and handle that.
Yeah. So. Because, I mean, I don't name names on here because I know absolutely. First of all, after going to the thing last week, I don't know if you know this, most of the people that listen to this show work here.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Love you.
So that was an interesting revelation. But also, like, there's somebody, if I name a name, they're going to know what I'm talking about. I thought I was making progress in one direction with a particular person. Mm-hmm. And then earlier this week, I got that text message. And then successively, I'm on the phone with this other person. They're like, so-and-so's friend came into the bar the other day. He's really cute. He followed me back on Instagram. And, like, we haven't done anything, but he, like, texts me pictures and something. I'm like, all right, so I'm just going to cross that off the list for now because, you know.
Now I want to know.
When these things are off.
I love the excitement I get living through Vince right now. It's crazy. Yes.
But that's funny because you say that, but you have your own stuff going on.
I have so much stuff going on. I don't even know. But I like to put my stuff aside to listen to everybody else because I have so much stuff going on. So.
Well, I mean, because you've got relationship, kid.
Yeah.
Work that's not just like one job.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah, if my life wasn't as hectic as it is, I don't even know if I'd survive though, because I feel like I'm just so used to the hectic and the so much and the running around and the stress. It's what I'm built on, you know? So sometimes it's nice to step back and like watch Melissa and her family or watch like what, you know,
you're observing.
The one thing I want is for you to find someone. And it's like one thing I love, like I have a lot of friends that are single and going through a lot. And it's like, I'm always trying to help them with that. So it's not, but when I help or when I talk about things with them, I don't compare to mine. I never ever talk about whatever I'm going through. I like to try and basically help out friends, like with you.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that because it's weird. I could just talk about this stuff privately with people, but I don't because I don't ever do that. So instead, we just go on a podcast.
And I love that. And I love that because everybody goes through something and somebody could see where you're at right now. You know, dating is hard right now. And then, you know, connecting with people. And, you know, in the world, we always go back to exes or we always go back to what we know.
Yes, what you're comfortable with. And Well, I also think there's just like, it's not like sunk cost, but it's also like you've already kind of spent your time with this person. Like, when you meet a new person and date for the first time, there's a little bit of like a break-in period where, you know, you're trying to figure out whether or not it's going to work in the first few dates.
Right.
Once you've kind of already established that, if I were to go out with this girl again, it wouldn't be starting from a zero. It'd be starting like, okay, we've already kind of established that, you know. Yeah.
You know what you like, you know what you don't, you know what you drink, you know what she drinks, you like, what you like.
Right, and then we would just have to figure out what the compromises are we'd have to make to actually have this be a long-term thing.
Is she far?
No, and she's also losing her lease, so that could be...
somebody's moving in the basement with all your clothes. No, I'm joking.
I mean, the clothes are on the other side. There is a carpet. There's a side that looks nice, and there's a side that's covered with clothes.
I'm still waiting on pictures, by the way.
Oh, my family and I spent several hours hanging up all the washed clothes that were in. So, and we didn't even finish getting all the washed stuff put away. And that does not account for the other laundry that I have to do and the stuff that was already hanging up. Three full bedroom. I live by myself. It's a 3-bedroom house. 3 full bedroom closets. 1 bed. 3 full bedroom closets. And then my basement full of a wonderful. I should sell admission. I should do like an indoor tag sale where people can just come around my house and pick shit off the walls.
That would be actually pretty cool. See all these ideas.
Come down to my basement.
Come
like
on
rifle through my you know
everything.
Collection of 800 sneakers or whatever,
Oh, my God.
It's not 800 sneakers, but still, it's like...
I think I want to go to your house and we can just put stuff on, like, those sites and just take pictures and see.
Yeah, Depop and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think you'd be
should.
So good.
Because there's stuff, like, literally, I told you last week, I bought a Has-Been Hotel hoodie for $2. Is it a video game? Is it a cartoon? It's a something that kids like. And I saw, hey, that was in the thrift store for $2. Somebody might want it. I might have a cousin. Like, sometimes I get this stuff and I'm like, I'm not going to wear it, but I think it's cool. So I'm just going to like.
That's my mother. I feel like if I put you with my mom, that would be really fun because my mother will be like, it'd be the ugliest shirt. And she'll be like, it's Michael Kors. I'm like, so you bought it because it's Michael Kors, not because it's ugly. Mom, it's ugly. It's ugly. Please don't wear it.
Oh my God.
Like, well, you know, I feel like that was that moment though.
On a similar vein, I had a 2XL shirt. Even when I was big, 2XL was a little too baggy for me.
Yeah.
But it was a Tommy Bahama shirt for like $5 or $6 bucks. And I'm like, I'm getting this Tommy Bahama shirt. And we were going through my closet and like that one. And I had a Michael Jordan jersey that was like it was some like teal green. Like it was not a standard Michael Jordan jersey. It was like something new from Foot Locker within the last.
Like, I want it. No, I'm like, right. Yeah.
And it was a 2XL, but I got it because it was like $15 on sale from $150 or something stupid.
Yeah, we're putting that on.
And if I wore it, it would go down to my knees. So my dad's putting my stuff away. I'm like, Dad, that's a Tommy Bahama. That's a brand new Nike from Foot. That's a Nike shirt from Foot Locker. Just take these things. And he's like, oh, because he's taller than me.
Yeah, oh, so it'll fit him better.
He's bigger than me. He used to be a lot bigger than me, and then he, like, did the whole, you know, I don't know if it's Ozempic or whatever, but, you know, he's type 2 diabetic, so he needed to, in order to you know, conquer type 2 diabetes or keep it checked, you have to lose weight and sugar intake, because it's not.
It's not
biological diabetes. Yeah. It's the diabetes you get from diet and exercise. So with the peptides or whatever they're giving him, where you know, he's lost a lot of weight, he's still a tall, broad
guy. Yeah, so he would fit him good.
So a 2X.
Was good.
Right. Like, he would wear a 2X and you could kind of see, you know, back in the day, and you could kind of see the, like, even with me, I would wear like an XL and you'd see like that outline.
Yep.
And now if I give him that shirt, it's going to fit him. Good. Like butter. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And the Tommy Bahama, I think the Tommy Bahama is going to look good on him too.
Yeah.
You know, and he wears a lot of polo shirts. He wears a lot of t-shirt, you know, he goes bowling, so he wears a lot of those dry fit bowling shirts.
Yeah, he likes those.
So if I give, and now that he has a Jordan jersey and like a Tommy Bahama
You're
shirt,
upgrading
I'm
him.
Right, I'm just getting a little more excited.
We're upgrading Dad. We're upgrading Daddy. Yes.
And which is funny, because when I was, now that I've explained to you off camera, like New Year's resolution, lost weight, all that stuff. Before that, as I was getting bigger, my dad was going, hey, I got too big for these pants, but you might fit them. Now I'm going, hey, we're swapping, I lost weight, but these pants are like the size you are now. You know what I mean? So we're like, we've like met in the middle somewhere. Right. Where now we're both almost the same size. He's just like, you know, it's like 8 inches taller than me. Like, my dad is, if you looked at me and my dad, you go, oh, yeah, I know you're related. But then you look at my mom and you go, oh, yeah, that makes sense why you're shorter and have, like, more hair.
How long have your parents been together?
Boy, they're going to get mad at me for not knowing this one.
Sorry, I had to ask. No. I had to ask.
I want to say it's April 19th, 1985 or 84, but I'm going to say 85.
Okay, what year were you born?
87.
Okay, all right. That's amazing. What do you think about the relationship? Like, what do you think keeps them going? Like, what do you see? What do you notice? What do you wish that you could kind of take from that to have your own relationship?
I don't know. Because it's like, I think it helps that they started seeing each other in the pre-internet, smartphone stuff era, where, like, I don't want to say unexciting or boring, but like, if it was kind of like they work their jobs, you get home.
Yep.
If you want to watch TV, we're either going to watch TV together, but if you want to watch soap operas in that room and I want to watch sports in this room, we can do that.
Balance,
right.
Yes.
Yep. But you know, at the end of the night, we go, it's not like some people who I know who like their parents sleep in separate bedrooms and they're like, they're basically together because like they're married and they're Catholic, but they don't really like each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
I see that a lot. That is like craziness to me. Like the actual married couples that, you know, I have a friend too, the mom sleeps downstairs, the dad sleeps upstairs, and then they don't watch TV together, and they go out to eat, and it's like random. It's like, it's the weirdest freaking thing. Like, in a relationship, I feel like you have to like love each other. Like, you have to pay, you have to like want to be around. That's why I bring back the friend first, because with friendship, that's what bonds you, and you're gonna have those silly times. I may not like you today right now, but guess what, we're sleeping together and you're gonna deal with me.
Well, and that's the other thing, is like, you know, whether or not, you know, you can, I think you're always going to end up having conflict with somebody if you live with someone for long. Mm-hmm. So whether it's bickering or whatever, I pick up your trash or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, but you don't hold that grudge.
Right. Like you said, at the end of the day, you still sleep in the same bed at the end of the night, and you're still married, and you still love each other. So, like, yeah, that's, you know, that's something that takes from it. Because otherwise, I mean, I just know like I said, I had friends in like I dated a girl in high school whose parents didn't sleep in the same bedroom. You know, you go to school, you meet a lot of people whose parents are divorced, not together. Yeah. You know, they got other, they're both remarried. So, you know, it's like my dad and his new wife and my mom and her new husband. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, you know, what is Christmas like? Jesus Christ.
It's amazing, probably.
I ain't got that kind of money, though.
Right.
I ain't got money to support.
You got one wife.
Families.
You got one wife money. We're trying to find that one wife for you.
That's right. I got one wife
money. One wife money.
I don't want two wife money.
Yeah.
Two, I don't want
listen,
two wives.
Listen, it's better. Actually, no, you don't want two wives. Actually, no. I don't know. I think you can handle it. I think you can handle it, Vince.
At the same time or like married, divorced, and then married again?
At the same time. You're hilarious. Okay. You're like, I'm just kidding.
Because like Ric Flair was married like 5 or 6 times and he's 77 years old and says he wants to have another kid. So I'm like,
oh my God, is it Al Pacino? Is it Al Pacino that's on like 47 children? Oh my God. Is it Al Pacino? No, it's not. Is it?
Oh my gosh, no, it's the other guy.
I don't know, the ones that's always in the same kind of movies that I always keep getting mixed up on. What is his name? Not Al Pacino.
Robert De Niro.
Yes.
Why couldn't I think of Robert De Niro's name? Holy shit.
Yes. Well, I think of both of them and like the same type. Like, if you think of actors,
they're always in the same movies.
Same movies. Yeah. He is just. And then the wives are like 22,
dude,
23.
Robert De Niro is. How old is he? Let me see now. Robert De Niro is.
He's
83 as of 3 days ago.
How old is his new wife or his baby mama?
Let's see. He's got 7 children. Yeah. Jesus, mother. Oh, God.
That one's okay. That one's okay. One,
yeah, these are both older. I mean, separated
somebody
in 2018.
Somebody is with somebody right now that is this age.
I think she's, because he's
is
separated
from. Is it Al Pacino?
Robert De Niro separated from that lady in 2018. So he's probably with
somebody
with the young now.
One.
Relationships and legal issues are tabs on his
I'm
Wikipedia.
Sure.
Oh, April 2023, De Niro welcomed his 7th child, a daughter, Gia, with his girlfriend, Tiffany Chen, aged 79 at the time. She doesn't have a thing on here, but
click
I can find
Tiffany.
It.
We got to click Tiffany, because I guarantee she's, like, young. Oh.
Oh, no, that's a Hong Kong filmmaker. That's not her.
Is it that one?
It's
probably that one.
Martial artist girlfriend.
Oh.
What?
No.
35 years as junior? No, that must
No, be. That's not. Oh.
That's
interesting. So then maybe it is Al Pacino. Go to Al Pacino. Maybe it is Al Pacino, I swear.
No, well, look, she's like 35.
Yeah, but she's still not what I just pictured. Oh, somebody has somebody that looks like they just walked out of college.
Let me see.
Is it Al Pacino?
New kid? Let's see. Roman Pacino. Noor Afal. Yep, it's him. They both do it.
They both do it.
What?
Okay.
Look, so listen, if you were in The Godfather, you can get laid until you're 85 years old.
Yes, exactly.
This is crazy.
Listen, if Al Pacino wanted to date me right now, I'm not even lying. I'd say yes.
Oh,
I'd be like, all right, yes.
Nor alfalfa. No,
I told
alfalfa.
You. She
what?
Looks at me. Look at the white outfit.
Bro.
Yeah. I told you.
Hey, you want to have a baby with me? Ooh,
Yes, daddy, I will. That's what I would say. Yes, daddy. Yes, daddy,
I
will.
With Keanu Reeves.
Oh, my God. It was so... His movies are amazing, though.
Love,
and that's
but
the thing
don't
I
touch.
Think, you know,
touch, but don't taste.
Like, how did that first date go? Like, my dad loved you in all your movies. My dad's so...
Could
my
you
dad,
imagine?
They're probably the same age. Actually, younger. Her dad is probably... How old is she? Like
1993. So she's
I went to
6 years younger than me. So she's like 33, 34.
Okay. But I mean, yeah, it's crazy. She's beautiful. I just think it's funny. I think also like with celebrities like that, they always like those young girls because everybody they've already dated everybody. What?
You're not gonna believe this. Before she had a kid with Al Pacino, she dated Mick Jagger.
See? See?
Which means she was in her 20s dating Mick
yes,
Jagger.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God. I love it. I love Hollywood. Hollywood, it cracks me up.
In the years that followed, she had several short-lived relationships with significantly older, wealthy, and famous men, which led to international media coverage and was the subject of controversy.
Listen, if I'm going to sleep with an older man for money, it would be Al Pacino. It would definitely. Danny DeVito, not so much. Not Danny DeVito. Oh, my God. I would never sleep with Danny DeVito.
I think a lot. You know what?
I mean,
a lot of women
height.
Would. A lot of women would.
We're the same height, but I'm not. Oh, my God. Speaking of, I don't know if you know who this is. Do you remember Webster? Okay, I was in Atlanta one time and I was dancing at the club and somebody like taps me and they're like, oh my God, do you know who, I think it was Webster. Is it Webster or the other one?
Well, that's what I was just going to ask.
I get mixed up. There's like two of them.
Facts of Life.
That one.
It is this one.
No, it's
not
the
Facts
other
of Life,
wait,
or whatever.
Is it Different Strokes? Which one was he?
Was it Gary?
Yes, it was him. So it was,
Gary Coleman?
Yes, it was
Gary Coleman.
So I was at the club dancing and one of his people like taps me on the shoulder and I'm like dancing and I was like, hey, and he's like, do you know who whatever is? And I was like, yeah, why? And he's like, turn around. He wants to dance with you. So like I turn around and he's like right here. I have a picture of us. He literally, like, I don't know if I can find it.
If I was DJing in that club, the first song I want to drop, now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some. Oh my God. Did he say what you talking about, Willis?
No, wow. I didn't. I was like, he was legit groping me. He was like, oh my God. He was in my boobs dancing with me, and I'm just like, I'm just going to dance with him because why not? I'm going to send you this picture because this picture is hilarious. I'm only 5 feet. So he was like, his head was like, I think we may have been the same height.
Either around that time or shortly after, whenever this story happened, he was accused of domestic abuse by his wife. And his wife is a full-grown woman. And even the courts were like, what was he going to do? Like, they were like, no. He's like, how am I getting, you know, accused of domestic abuse? She pushed me down the stairs.
Oh my God.
Was like saying something. He's like, she would pick me up by like my belt or my waist and carry me around. Like he was saying, like, I was the one that was abused. I'm 4 foot tall.
Nobody believes your ass.
Nobody believes you, Willis.
Nobody believes you. What's up with that? Nobody believes your little ass. Okay, but he was so aggressive. He was like grabbing me and pushing me in. And I was like, now I can see it.
I heard the man had a little bit of a drinking problem.
Oh, makes sense. He was really cool though.
No, he seemed like a
cool, but like it was just funny. Like, I don't know, it was only me. I feel like different situations like that have always happened to me. Another time when I was in Atlanta, I was on a TV show for BET and it was called Hell Date. And I would be an actress, and like, say you didn't know I was an actress, but like you would go on a date with an actress, and then I'd be the one to like try and flirt with you, so the actress would be mad. So I was the decoy, I guess.
Oh, so it was like punked almost.
Yes, exactly. Okay. But at the end, the little devil, a devil outfit would come out and he'd be like, you're on hell date. And it would like, and it would like scare the guy because it was horrible. I'll send you that too. And
hell
I would, it was called hell date.
Oh God.
So that
you're
little,
on hell date.
Listen, no, he was crazy. He would jump out of boxes. Like he would, it was a thing. I will send you this. You're going to die. And one time he was like, hey, I'm invited to this party. The whole cast is. I'm like, okay. He's like, I'll pick you up. I'm like, okay. Pulls up in a Hummer. His little ass pulls up in a Hummer.
Do you have to have those little blocks for the steering?
I don't know, but I was like, why are you by yourself? Where's your assistant? I thought the three of us were going, okay? Talk about hell date. So we show up at the club. He's like on me, holding me. And I'm just like, oh, and I couldn't, I had to sign a...
Like a release or something?
I had to sign a confidentiality form because...
Like an NDA?
Yes, because the show didn't come out yet. But now I'm out in public around people. Mind you, I was doing TV work and stuff. They see me out with this little fella and I can't say why. So I was like devastated because we would take pictures and he'd like grab my butt and he'd pull me in and people were like, are you dating him? I'm like, no, like we're friends. I can't even say why. I was so mad. And then... there was this camera, like a local picture place that would go out to all the clubs and stuff and take pictures, and it would be called ATL Pics. So everybody was on, like, if you were somebody, you were on ATL Pics.
Right.
Why the hell did the photographer come over to me and is like, take a picture? So I was like, okay. So him and I go to take the picture. He grabs my ass in the picture, and they post it. So now I'm all over ATL Pics with the little man that I can't talk about how I know him, grabbing my ass like he's my man. I will send you that picture too.
I'm so glad that professional broadcaster Lisa Wexler and her client or whoever that was did not hear that whole story.
No.
They could just see us in the window.
She just smiles all proud and cute.
She's like, oh my God, she's recording. Oh my God, look at her. I remember when she was at the cubicle, now she's got her own show, and she's like, this freaking midget was grabbing my ass like through the soundproof door. She has no idea what's going on.
Literally my little person story. I have two back-to-back. I think I have more little person stories than any other person because that was literally my life.
I've met, you know, so I can't say never because I never really talked to a guy. I went to college with, there were two little guys and one little lady. And one of the guys and one of the ladies started dating at one point. That was kind of cute. But the funniest slash cruelest thing was there used to be a Taco Bell in the basement of like the common area.
Yeah.
And that was where everybody got lunch. The counter was about this much too high for him.
No.
So there I this is how I like learn to internalize when something's really funny and not like say something out loud.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I would have upset this poor little chap. He was paying, because the counter's here. So
oh,
he's
God.
Looking up and he's putting, I want a quesadilla and, you know, Baja Blast. So he's looking up. And then they're like, well, it's, you know, it's 8:57. And he takes the money out of his pocket. And no joke, he has to do one of these things to get his hand. He's like, hip. Like, he had to give his arm a little extra momentum. Like, stoop. And, like, he, like, put the money down and, like, pushed it with his fingers toward the guy. And I was like, please. I almost wanted to be like, buddy, just give me the money next. I don't even know you. I'll just hand him the money.
No, he would have been so angry. They're mean.
They got
little men syndrome.
That's what I heard was that, you know, I was like, oh, that would be cool. I want to make fun friends with the little guy.
No.
Like, no, he's mean.
No, like, he's so mean.
That's like when you're... I was like, man, I had
it's
a friend.
It's like Elf. It's like
I had a friend with a chihuahua.
Man.
I had a friend with a chihuahua that was the
exactly.
same way. I was like, I want to be friends with Titan.
Exactly.
He's like, no, Titan's mean. I'm
oh
like,
my
okay.
God, yes. It's always the little ones that are mean. Okay, I can't even say it because I'm kind of mean too, I heard I'm kind of mean too. I don't mean
but
it.
But everybody here likes you.
But I know, but I mean with a smile. So they don't, it goes through.
Right.
I have a good cover up. I'm a Gemini. So I could cover all that up. But yeah, like that is, it's crazy. I wish we had one that worked here. That'd be so fun.
Who's that? What?
A little person.
So, funny story, Chaz had a bad interaction with a little person one time, and which has sworn him off from having any little people on the show or any little people involved. Because he was doing, you know, like you read a news story and you do like a break, a talk break
yep.
or whatever. This was like probably 20, 30 years ago. He's telling me this story. He's like, I'm reading a story, blah, blah, blah. So, and he was a dwarf or he was a midget. And he said one of the words.
And it was not the right one.
And so during the, hits the thing, the music's playing, the commercial's playing, phone rings. Hey, you use this word. You know what I mean? A little
yeah.
person was listening and he's like, why'd you call me? And from then on, he's just like, he doesn't know.
I don't know the word either.
Right.
It's like, what is the social acceptable like
but,
word?
Because then here's the problem. Have you ever seen the advertisements for Tiny Dancers?
No.
It's called Tiny Dancers.
No.
It's a group of little person strippers that go to, like, clubs.
Stop. Oh, I have another story. Go ahead. Keep going.
And so I'm like, this. Is, so there's I see ads all the time. Apparently Facebook knows I love little people. So I get ads for Tiny Dancers.
Strippers. I love that.
And then I get ads for Midget Wrestling Warriors.
Yes.
It's in the name.
Okay.
Midget Wrestling Warriors.
Okay.
And apparently, it's one of those things like certain cultural words that white people aren't allowed
yep,
to say.
Yep.
They go, well, it's our word and we can call each other.
But not on the outside in.
Right. But if we say, if we give the company the name Midget Wrestling, you're okay to say that's a midget wrestling company.
Okay.
But if somebody else, you know, you would be
oh,
more offended by it. Yeah.
I get it.
It's like you got to have the M word pass.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the thing is I never know what to say. So I just say little person.
Yeah, I think little person is just, because there is. You can't broadly say midget because midget is one thing.
Yeah.
And dwarf, they're
else.
Both medical
yeah.
terms. And then people just kind of like, it's like Kleenex. It's like
yeah.
we just lumped it all together.
Yeah.
We call everything Kleenex.
Tissue,
yeah,
toilet. Yeah, yeah. I always say everything's tissue. But you know what I just realized too? Okay, so I've had three encounters. My last one, I was pregnant. I was having my baby shower and my DJ quit last minute. And so one of my friends like, I found somebody last minute. I'm like, okay. And it was a little person DJ.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing, right? Why does my father come up to me and go, did you get him half off? Dad! No, stop it. Why would you say that? And my dad has this laugh and it goes,
that's so great.
And I was like, what the hell? So, okay, I've had three little person encounters in my life and all three of them were very interesting. Now I need
we could have another one on Saturday, October 11th. It is sold out, but I feel like we could get press passes. So Tiny Dancers is one of the companies. This one's is Micro Maidens the Show, Dwarf Dancers
at Keepers. We should go. We should go.
The tickets are sold out, but we could still probably get in.
We can go. Who wants to join us at Keepers and make some fun friends?
I don't know. So look at this little.
Oh, she's cute. Okay, you know.
One girl's 5 foot tall. Four foot nothing.
She's considered a little person. I'm 5 feet.
Well, I think that's. Or is that 4 foot? Why would they put 4'12"? Is that just as a joke?
4.5.
Maybe that's four foot one point two.
Because I think under 5 feet is considered.
Right. So
that's messed up. I could have had a handicap.
She's the tallest. She's the tallest one.
Stop! I'm gonna go in there. They're gonna think I'm one if I go in there.
Is that Bridget? Is that Bridget the midget? Do you know about Bridget the Midget?
No, I don't know about Bridget the Midget.
Bridget the Midget has had a long career in the adult industry for at least 15 or 20 years. And as you would guess, she's a little person.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, because you know how they're built sometimes. You know, like the Michelin Man?
Yes.
Or you know, like when you see a chubby baby that has rolls?
Love those. That's how she's... I'm dead. You know what? Listen.
I didn't need to finish. You immediately got the picture.
Sometimes, listen, we like them a little thick. You know, it's just like everything. I have a friend that actually loves Little Women. And
every time
I see them on Insta, I send them over to him. He's like, yeah. And now, mind you, he's like 6'7". I'm like,
oh, that's
you just want to be throwing them around.
Well, you remember Shaq was dating the girl.
Oh, my God, yes.
From Flavor of
yes,
Love.
Yes, so pretty.
She was like
teeny tiny. I mean, she's not even teeny tiny. She's like 5'4". And I know
because
I met her in Atlanta.
But she looks next to Shaq.
Hoops,
yes. It was Hoops.
And she's freaking gorgeous. Yeah. But I'm 5 feet. She's 5'4". I've met her a couple times.
And then Shaq's
over. I've met Shaq at a party when I used to live in Atlanta. He is huge. You know who else I met? Chris Webber. He's also very huge.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
Chris Webber.
Met them at a... Damn. I went to his party. I used to live... You know, guys, I'm living in this life of...
Yeah. I love it because, you know, you run across... I run across weird celebrities, too. Like,
it's
you know,
so fun.
But you run across way more because you, like, do TV work.
Allen Iverson.
Really?
I was at a club in the VIP and I just see this really nice chocolate arm with tattoos. And I'm like, I touch his arm and I go, oh, I really like your tattoos. And I look at him. I was like, oh, we have the same birthday. And he looks at me and I was like, you're Allen, right? And he goes, and in Atlanta, he has his own street. I'm like, this man, I love being a
Gemini. That's crazy.
Like, yeah, I've met the most craziest people in the most random spots. Like, my life is pretty funny. That's why I want to do a book.
You should. I never met him, but my cousin dated Vince Carter.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, you date, I mean, I've dated, I've living in Atlanta, I dated some people. I hung out with Chris Rock's brother, Tony Rock. I used to hang out with him.
Oh, Tony Rock, yeah.
Yes.
That's cool, because he does stand-up.
Yes,
yeah, he's funny.
He is funny. He's hilarious. I hung out with him sometime. I've hung out with a lot of fun people. Like, I'm telling you, I always said that I was going to write a book called Not Just Another Connecticut Girl, because I've had some I have some good stories, juicy ones.
Well, we have a platform to tell
some of those
stories, you know?
I'm so excited.
So we should wrap up because we've been doing this over an hour. But I have a question for you for either next time or the time after because we had talked about this.
Yeah.
Maybe this would be a tease for our audience.
Yeah.
You were on Fox's 99 to Beat in the first season.
Yep.
And then you have a friend. You got a friend cast on that show.
Yeah. Yep.
While we don't want to violate any NDAs,
yeah.
I think it would be fun to have two contestants from the same show, different seasons. It's almost like having two people on from different Survivor seasons.
Yeah.
Talk about the similarities, the differences, how you even get up. Like, I know you get on the show through, like, you know, the casting process, but what did they see in you and her that they're like, we got to have them on TV. So,
and you'll love her. Her name is Camille, and her dating life right now is actually probably something we would love to talk about. Her dating life. I love it. I love to follow her all the time.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I mean, geez, that's as juicy of a tease as we can get.
I know.
But we'll talk about that, I guess, on the way out here. Thank you guys for watching. Remember, follow us at Laughable Advice all over social media. If you're on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, TikTok is at Laughable Advice. The YouTube is Laughable Advice. The Audio Boom or the podcast when you search on your podcast app. It's all the same stuff. So just subscribe, all that good stuff. And laughableadvice@gmail.com. If you have a story, it can be your story. We can change the names. It can be a story of a friend or just something you heard. If you found an interesting Reddit link, I found a couple today, but we had so much to talk about anyway, with these things that happened in my life. So we've got stuff that, you know, always good to have content for later. But if you have a story or advice that you want our take on, or maybe our guests take on it, if we have a guest that week, laughableadvice@gmail.com.
Yes.
Shoot us an email. We'd love to hear from you. If you think it's great, great. If you think the show stinks, send us an email.
And if you think Vince is a hottie patati with all his tattoos, I am looking for the perfect woman for him. So look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that ink. Look at that ink. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And all these hats he has. He has a million of them. Okay.
I was going to wear a top hat today. I was so going to wear a top hat.
We should do a theme. We should, our next one, because I'm working the cocktail carnival at Fox was this weekend. Yeah. So I'm going to have a fun little like outfit. The next time we come in, we should do like circus theme and just be cute.
Let me know. I mean,
we're all about, I know you have it somewhere in your many wardrobe situation.
I'm pretty sure I could come up with something pretty easily.
I'm sure too. But yes, if you're looking for somebody that's amazing and like runs with his heart first, is a good listener, he's funny, good looking, put together, has more clothes than any woman I know, then Vince is your man.
Yes.
So
the
reach out.
Reality show Date My Podcast Host continues.
Yes. We're gonna find it. We're gonna probably go to the little, what is it, the keepers?
The little,
where he might end up with a little woman.
For Micro maidens.
It might be the one for him. Might be just a little one for him. So the one with the goth girl better step like up her game.
Yeah, but I think if they're light enough, I could probably carry two home. You know what I mean?
Buy one, get one.
But they are a little, you know, usually they're a little bottom heavy, so she might be.
I'm dead. Oh my God, this is amazing. What if there's a goth little cute one? You're done. You that got a whole be. Pack. Look at him looking. Look how deep he's looking.
There's
are
one
you
that looks
there?
Like Tinkerbell. There's one that looks like a nurse. There's a firefighter.
There's one hiding in there for you.
There's one that looks like she's dressed in the Oompa Loompa costume from the Johnny Depp movie.
I am dead.
Oh, my God.
There's someone out there for you, Vince. Little person or not, we're here for you.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out. If not, you'll see us doing a podcast from the Micro Maidens dance thing at Keepers.
Down. I'm down for that.
Holy Moses. All right, guys. We're going to call it. Have a good one. Follow us at Laughable Advice, at OSnapD, Vince at Real D-T-E-R-E-E-L-D. Hey, I got it for once. Hi, everybody.